Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson of Family Talk, inviting you to join us for a special one-day event called Building a Family Legacy on Saturday morning, January 19th at Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. Together, we'll explore biblical principles for raising healthy children. Doors open for this free event at 8 a.m. and tickets are required, but the seats are limited. Learn more and reserve your spot now at buildingafamilylegacy.com.
Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan, whether you call it being down in the dumps or melancholy or just having the blues, depression is a pretty serious matter which affects a lot of people. It may even be affecting someone listening right now.
Well, I know as we say on the broadcast that we usually have someone in mind when we come to do a recording. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we definitely do. We hear from people all the time who struggle with depression and they need help. There is always someone with a particular need or problem, something that is troubling one of our listeners. I'm positive that there are people listening right now who have struggled at one time or another with depression, and I hope they're going to stick around with us for today's program as well as tomorrow's.
Or Ryan, they may even be married to someone who's clinically depressed, or they have a child or a mother or father who's showing signs of depression. It touches every one of us in one way or another because it's just so common. And as Christians, we are not immune. It's almost part of our human experience. That is why it is so important for us to understand it and talk about it and not stigmatize it.
And reaching a better grasp on the topic is what our plan is for today's program. We're going to take a closer look at the causes and treatment of depression and especially look at some of the newer understandings of this disorder and how we can approach it.
And to help us do that, your dad invited two guests to the studio who are both very knowledgeable on this subject. One of them is his very good friend, Dr. Arch Hart, a Christian clinical psychologist who is also an expert in the area of depression. He's been on this program before discussing the topic of adrenaline and stress and other subjects.
And listeners can find those other broadcasts at drjamesdobson.org. Today, Dr. Hart is also joined by his daughter, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber, who followed in her dad's footsteps and is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Pasadena, California.
Well, I know that listeners are going to find some wonderful advice in what these two guests have to say. So let's listen in now as Dr. Dobson further introduces our guests here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, you all have two books on this subject. Dr. Hart's book from a couple of years ago is called Unmasking Male Depression, Recognizing the Root Cause to Many Problem Behaviors, such as anger, resentment, abusiveness, silence, addictions, and sexual compulsions. And it was published by Word. And then the newer book that the two of you wrote together is called Unveiling Depression in Women, A Practical Guide to Understanding and Overcoming Depression, and Dr. Archibald Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. So we've got the expertise. We got the subject. Arch, you have referred to depression as the common cold of emotional disability.
Yes. It is the common cold of the emotional problems. It is so common and so necessary, and that's one of the points I hope that we'll get across to our listeners today, that in fact we were designed for depression. This is not something that comes out of the blue, that God designed us. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to be sad. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to be depressed.
Boy, somebody out there who's got this cloud hanging over them every day is going to have a hard time accepting that this is God's will for me.
Yet I'm not necessarily saying that it's God's will, but right now, whatever circumstances your life is in, depression could be the natural consequences of that. Some depressions are necessary. We know in bereavement that it's necessary.
That's your way of working these difficulties.
But it's a healing emotion if you cooperate with it. If it's a symptom of something else that is wrong, you need to cooperate with that. And out of that can come healing.
Catherine, I said during the introduction that at some time or another, nearly all of us suffer from depression. Is that an accurate statement?
I think so. And we seeing from recent research now some of the claims that depression, for instance, women, one in three women will experience a kind of depression sometime in their life. And some even estimate that just about every woman will experience some form, even a mild form.
There's a difference between clinical depression and just routine everyday depression.
Right.
What's
and
the difference?
There's a broad range and so many different types of depression, but a clinical depression is when you have a cluster of symptoms that go on for more than 2 weeks, and if they persist for more than 2 weeks at a time, and it doesn't lift, and it could be in any part of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally. Usually, depression is the most common is feeling sad, you're feeling down, you feel hopeless, you feel a loss of interest in usual things in life, you could feel difficulty getting up in the morning and just getting going. For women especially, a sense of low self-esteem or not feeling good about yourself, not feeling confident, comfortable. And if that persists ongoingly, for more than 2 weeks, then it could be considered clinical depression. It could be mild, moderate, or severe.
You know, I did a very unscientific study in the early 70s that became the basis for a book that I wrote called What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. And it was an outline, really, of the 10 sources of depression that I had asked about 10,000 women to rank order from top to bottom. It's a pretty simple approach, but it was really interesting to me then that far and away, the most common source of depression, according to these women, which may not have been accurate clinically, was low self-esteem. I don't really like myself. 50% of that huge crowd of women said they really did not respect themselves. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't surprise me. Now, it could have been because it's a symptom, maybe, of them feeling depressed. But you still find today that one of the top 5 to 10 reasons why women do get depressed, say even more than men, or why it is now considered an epidemic amongst women, you will find that it has to do with women's sense of themselves and either their personality types or sense of who they are in a comfortableness in who they are in their roles, the way they were raised and the feedback they were given about themselves and the affirmation and the attachment they had as they were growing up with their parents, a mother, a father, especially the father. The feedback from that is very critical in who they sense they are as a person. And that is a vulnerability, a risk factor for being depressed then.
That's really sad, isn't it? That somewhere between 30 and 50% of the women who are out there, millions and millions and millions, look inside or look in the mirror and don't like what they see. That's something wrong with that.
It is. And that even extends to how women feel about their bodies, because one of the reasons that someone has suggested for depression in women is also what they call this the pursuit of thinness. But now we have a whole issue in our body image, and our culture creates an image of not how women should be, but how they should look. And so you get now the plethora of the diets and the which is best, the carbs or the protein or the, and going to the gym. And so now they're seeing a cycle with escalation of eating disorders now, and this cycle of hopelessness for women in trying to look a certain way and be a certain way. And that is a risk factor for women, again, because you feel frustrated and hopeless.
It's an unachievable objective, isn't it, Archie?
It is. And the media have been particularly guilty of presenting images, the ideal women's image, that has created such a huge gap that there's a massive loss that every woman seems to have to face up to, starting at an early age. And that's the other sad thing about depression, Jim, is that it is occurring earlier and earlier in life. You know, when I first started clinical practice, I never saw teenagers depressed, I only saw adults who were depressed. But now, in childhood even, there's a very significant increase in depression.
Imagine being 14 today and female and having braces on your teeth and acne and being at one extreme or another regarding weight, too heavy, which is the worst on self-esteem, or very, very skinny as they term themselves, and imagine not being in a family which can buy the kind of designer clothes to help, you know, all those things. And then they go to a movie or they turn on the television and here's all those Hollywood images that are saying, this is the way you ought to look. Even at 14 or 15, this is the way. And if you are that, you are in the in crowd. And if you're not, you're not worth anything. That's terrible. What that does, that, I mean, that kind of depression will follow that little girl on into life.
It's stressful. It creates a lot of stress. And it puts, especially for girls, they're so vulnerable. As one of the girls has said to me, it's a fragile line between feeling good one day and just absolutely going into the pits the next day. And it puts a lot of stress on young people.
Do you treat some of those kids from adolescence?
I have been involved in working with and increasingly more involved in awareness. Dr. Hart and I did a book on sexuality, Secrets of Eve, and we did a national survey on women and sexuality. But one of the issues that came out of that was definitely feedback from women and younger women on this issue of struggling with the body image and sexuality. But increasingly, I think the concern is the stress that it creates in young people today. The largest group of increase in depression is amongst adolescents and young adults. And so we're seeing some of the explanations for that around the increase in what's the stress and the loss and the challenges they face with it. And that is really the risk factor for the depression.
Arch, would you say that early evidence of depression, adolescence, early adolescence especially, is a kind of a harbinger of lifelong struggles with depression?
No doubt about it, Jim. One of my areas of research is childhood depression. We've been working for four or five years now with young children. And we need to turn for a moment, without being too technical, to our neurology, to our brain. And there's no doubt about it, something we call neural plasticity, that the brain is being shaped. And that when you are going through 12, 13, 14 years of age, struggling with your body image, always falling short, the stress of that begins to imprint itself on the brain. And now hardwired circuits become connected. So if you go through adolescence and come into your early adulthood with that sort of depressive background, your brain now is pretty hardwired and will predispose you to depression in a way that otherwise you would not be.
Which is a pretty good case for parents keeping a close eye on their adolescents. And if they see this start to happen, to get help.
Get help as early as you're possible.
I think Absolutely.
If there's one major point we would like to bring out in this broadcast is the absolute importance of getting help for depression as early as you possibly can. The sort of symptoms that show themselves are withdrawing, social isolation, rebellion, where they begin to be anti you, they resist you. I'm talking about at a young age, dramatic drop in energy, sleep disturbances. Any of those, and an important one, particularly for boys, we mustn't forget that this can happen to boys as well, is an increase in their hostility, their anger, their rage. Yeah. And we are seeing an epidemic of rage in young people today that I think Catherine agrees with me, is definitely linked to this depressive phenomenon that seems to be so characteristic of our day and age.
Yeah, not just teenagers. But people our age as well. I had somebody who overheard me on a cell phone in the last two or three months.
Overheard
and,
you?
And turned around and put his finger in my face and yelled at me. I mean, I was outside. I was not even in a place where people would be expected to hear it. He was walking along behind me apparently and heard something I said that offended him. And I was in London just a couple of months ago and heard people talking about tube rage. about the subway and about trying to get on and people jamming in front of you and about not being able to find a seat and, you know, just all kinds of things. By the time you get to work, you're ready to kill somebody.
And many do. Yeah. And we are seeing this epidemic of homicides. You know, people just angry enough to go so far as to kill someone else. But Jim, this all ties back to this tremendous stress that we are under today. And you cannot understand depression without understanding the role that stress is playing in people's lives.
Where would you rank the pace of living as a cause for that stress?
Oh, it is definitely the accelerated pace of living. But it's not only the pace of life that's accelerated, but the diminished night. We've prolonged the daytime now. It is the accelerated information highway. The internet has done some good things. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but there's no doubt about it that my stress is higher now. Because I have to get more, I can get more information, I can get more knowledge. Stress is the name of the game.
Another factor, too, that there's a lot of talk about now and speculation is the shift in the family structure. Because we do have the divorce rate being over 50% or so, getting higher, there's a lot of changes there, a lot of loss in relationships and instability. And that also is very stressful. That adds, even on top of the pace we're living in, it really adds to adjustment and loss. And that also is another risk factor then at having to being vulnerable to being depressed. And especially, again, we're looking at young adolescence into young adulthood. And then for women especially then who have to make the shift and parent alone and go out and work and have the additional stress of that. That loss factor, the stress factor, those all contribute then.
And
to
some
vulnerability.
Of those things are part of the normal modern pace of living. Mm-hmm. How in the world do we go change that? I mean, that's almost beyond our ability to deal with it preventatively.
That's the dilemma, you see, which means that somehow we have to help our communities. This is where I think our churches can be very, very helpful. In providing a sub-community, a haven of low stress. I mean, people will need help, and we've got to pay more attention to this. We've got to understand that we're living outside the boundaries of God's creation. I don't doubt that one moment. And I believe that we can, within our Christian sub-community, create a place where it can be safer for our children and families.
We also have to be more intentional about our personal lives and our lifestyles. And there's definitely a raising of awareness this in our culture now that we have to manage our stress, we have to eat healthier foods, we have to sleep, at least get the 8 or 9 hours sleep that Dad has been preaching about
for
years,
for
which is very, very difficult. And, you know, we have to exercise. We have to take care of recovery in our lives from the stress that we experience. And so we have to just be a lot more intentional about spending quality and quantity time with the people we love and live from the values, the core values in our lives. And so we just have to evaluate and be more intentional.
This factor right here played a major role because contrary to the role you took, Dr. Hart, with your profession, you were dean of psychology at Fuller School of Psychology and done all these things, but you continued to speak a lot. Mm-hmm. I saw in the 70s that was the activity that turned my boat over. Mm-hmm. Because I was changing time zones, I would come home exhausted. People would drain me to death. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I was there. But I would counsel people at break time and lunchtime when everybody else is going to the bathroom. I was standing at the front of the building talking to people about their 8-year-old that was giving them difficulty. And I would come home sometimes 10, 11 o'clock at night after doing that all day. And then my work at home had piled up, and Shirley needed me, and the kids needed me, and all the paperwork and the books I was trying to write and everything else. So I had to figure out what I could do, and that's why I turned to the media. And that's why I started a radio program, because I was just trying to stay home. Everybody has to find their own approach.
Yes.
You thrive on that travel and speaking, don't you?
To a certain extent, yes. In recent years, I've started to slow that down, but I've also started to focus a lot more. I focus on pastors because I think I can impact more lives. If I can impact one pastor, I know I'm impacting 50, 100, 1,000 other lives as well.
Dad is very intentional about managing his recovery time in his private life. Definitely has relaxation and gets to bed every night and a full night's sleep. And
he
manages.
He's made that case for at least 8 hours sleep.
Right.
Per night.
And he manages his time, personal time, and he doesn't stay afterwards and spend a lot of time. He takes naps in the afternoon between speaking. So that's something I must say Dad has learned how to manage his pace and his stress level. He eats well and takes his vitamins and exercises every day that he can when he's home. So I think that helps as well. And he has learned then again to turn down a lot of speaking.
Well, sometimes there's more of an option than we realize. It may be that a little smaller house would allow you not to have two careers. Maybe that the mom would rather stay home, but she can't because she's supporting this house and this lifestyle. It just requires us, I think, to slow down and look at everything we're doing and saying there's good, there's better, and there's best, and you have to decide what is right. You got to take your body into consideration, don't you?
I think that's the point we're trying to make, that you've got to look at your whole person. A lot of people's spiritual lives are suffering because of their high stress. There are many reasons why they need to pay attention to it. But you are right, there's a sense of helplessness many people feel. And but it's all a matter of choice. Yeah. But I could introduce another issue here, and that for some people, their stress levels are going to have an impact on their bodies to such an extent that they really need to get some medication help, Jim.
Yes.
I think that trying to play Superman or Superwoman is not really God's purpose for your life. And thank God in this day and age, we do have resources that can strengthen our systems to cope with the challenges that cannot be avoided.
Well, we need to talk about those resources. And we've talked a lot about the problem today. I think we need to devote another day to this program and talk about some of the pharmacological approaches. That's an area you lecture on, that subject.
Yes.
in the university, don't you?
Yes, I'm.
And to talk about some of the other causes of depression. There's much more that we have not talked about. So let's end the program for today. And you all have flown here from California. We will just do another program sitting right here. So thank you all for being our guests. I do have great love and respect for you both and for the contribution that you've made to the family and to my family.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
We're very close and have great love for you and Kathleen. And it's a pleasure, Catherine, to have you here for the first time. This will be the first of many, I hope.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll pick it up right here next time.
And I imagine many of you will be waiting anxiously to hear more from our guests, Dr. Arch Hart and his daughter, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber, about coping with depression in a more positive way. You have been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Ryan, I really do hope that someone who may be struggling with this issue or knows someone who is struggling will reach out to us and get some further understanding about how depression affects men and women differently.
Well, Luann, we can definitely point them in the right direction. We've got some resources online, as well as those two books by Dr. Hart, Unmasking Male Depression and Unveiling Depression in Women, which he co-wrote with his daughter, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. You can find those links online at drjamesdobson.org. You can also call us for a complimentary CD of this two-day broadcast. Our number is 877-732-6825. This could be for yourself or to share with someone you know who might be struggling with this very issue.
And we also would be happy to put you in contact with a Christian counselor in your area to help you work through these issues more deeply. You can find that link on our website or when you call us. Once again, the number 877-732-6825 or online at drjamesdobson.org.
And as we're in the beginning of 2013, we want to let you know that we are excited about our new initiative. It's called 1,000 Days of Impact. Our desire is to reach 10 million families over the next 3 years in that 1,000 days. And we do need your help. If you would like to join with us financially so that we can continue to bring helpful programs like these to families around the country, please ask about how you can do that when you contact us.
Again, online at drjamesdobson.org. Here in the close, I do also want to point out that online you can find some information about attending a very special in-person appearance by your dad, Dr. James Dobson, in San Antonio on January 19th, right?
That's right. San Antonio, Texas, January 19th at Cornerstone Church. The doors open at 8, and my dad will start speaking at 9, and our whole entire family is going to be there. We're filming some final pieces for the Building a Family Legacy DVD series. So myself, my wife Laura, Lucy, Lincoln will be there, my mom and dad, my sister Danae, and it's going to be a great time.
That would be worth it. We invite all of you, whether you live in the San Antonio area or not, to consider traveling there. Again, that's Saturday morning, January 19th, and you can get all of the information at drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks for joining us today, and tune in tomorrow as we hear more about this important topic of depression. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.